The absence of a father, the presence of a father. Boy, what a difference it makes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me wish you a happy day after Father's Day here on The Line of Fire. As we're going to focus on the fathers on the broadcast today, I believe this could be a very important show. I believe this could be life-changing for many of you listening, for dads, for moms, for kids. 866-348-7884, the number to call to join in the conversation. I've got a specific question I want to ask you in a moment. But let me first say that looking at world news, boy, I mean, things are just simmering all over the planet, from elections in Greece to elections in Egypt to the state of the euro, the finances of Europe and much of the world, things happening all over our own country, and now Israel raising major concerns about security with Egypt, with the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood there. And with the military in Egypt taking over more and more power, it is a volatile situation. I have insight on many of these issues. Others, they are not my primary strength. For example, world economics and world politics in general. But this much I know. This much I know. The foundation of all foundations is God and knowing God rightly. Having a right relationship with God who identifies himself as the Heavenly Father. And the foundation of all foundations for us here on this planet is the family. The family. Economy, morality, spirituality, all those things flow out of the family for better or for worse. And within each household, the father plays a key role. The mother is indispensable. The father is indispensable. And this being the day after Father's Day, and since I was asked to preach at our home congregation, Fire, yesterday, and I brought a Father's Day message called The Effect of the Father. It was a play on words of the name of a book I read as a new father 35 years ago called The Effective Father, a book I'd still recommend. I called my message The Effect of the Father. And I want to ask you this question. Obviously, if you have something embarrassing or negative to say, the less personal details given, the better. But here's my question. Was your life profoundly affected in the negative because of the absence of a father or because of a poor father figure? 866-34-TRUTH. Hopefully in the Lord, there's been redemption, there's been restoration in your life, but maybe not at this point, and we want to pray for you. Has your life been negatively affected as you've grown up and developed and come into adulthood or grown in different ways in life, and you can see clear gaps, clear issues, wrong choices you made, destructive influences that came into your life because of the absence of a father or because of a poor father figure, 866-34-TRUTH. On the flip side, has your life been positively impacted? Are you who you are today in God, in life, in society, because of the presence of a father figure, an earthly father that raised you, or perhaps a spiritual father that impacted you? How so? How so? Can you point to specific influence or lack of influence? Can you point to specific times when you needed a father and he was there or he wasn't there? I want to talk to you because, look, all the theory, all the speculating, all the statistics fall short of personal stories and anecdotes. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to talk about the effect of the father today here on The Line of Fire. Back with some stats, though, and then your stories. Phone lines are lighting up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, this is very, very telling. I don't remember seeing phone lines all light up this quickly, except when we're doing a giveaway or something like that, which means that everything we're saying about the absence of the Father or the presence of the Father is massively important. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this day after Father's Day here on The Line of Fire. I will go to the calls very shortly because I want to hear from as many of you as I can. But I want to address a group listening right now that you are right now in single parent households, in particular a mom raising kids. You're either the mom raising the kids, maybe your grandmom raising the kids, or you are young people listening and your mom or your grandmom, those are the ones raising you. I want to say that as I share negative statistics, that these are not guarantees that your own lives will not be blessed, your own families will not be blessed. As much as I differ with our president's policies, I admire how far he has been able to go. And remember, he was raised primarily without his earthly father. So I want to make clear that as I share about the Father, I know many of you listening are part of this group, which is anything but a statistic to you, which is about one in every three kids being raised in America today is being raised without his or her biological dad. That's stunning. That's a stunning statistic. And for those of you listening, single moms, maybe your husband died, maybe your husband left the family, maybe you had kids out of wedlock, God's a redeemer. Everything meant for evil can be turned for good. The kids you have are gifts from God. God is the one who has given life. So don't be condemned and don't lose hope. And if you're part of a body, if you're part of a fellowship, God can bring in other families. God can bring in other individuals that play the role to make up for missing family members. So I want to say that plainly because I want to be clear, but I don't want anyone to feel condemned or hopeless today. Stats. This is about fatherless homes, kids raised without their dad. Are you ready? Kids raised without a father account for 60% of America's rapists, 63% of America's youth suicides, 70% of America's long-term prison inmates, 70% of America's reform school attendees, 71% of America's teenage pregnancies, 71% of America's high school dropouts, 72% of America's adolescent murderers, 85% of America's youth prisoners, 85% of America's youth with behavioral disorders, and 90% of America's runaways. If you look at how this works out, for example, 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. That's 9 times the average. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers coming from fatherless homes. That's 10 times the average. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. That's 14 times the average. Did you ever see the movie It's a Wonderful Life? One of the few movies I recommend. Old movie with Jimmy Stewart, Christmas time movie. He's depressed. He's hopeless. He's going to commit suicide. And then he sees, by way of an angelic vision, you could say, his suicide and the effects of it. And he realizes everything he had to live for and the importance of his life. When I give all these negative stats, it reminds us, if you see what happens as a result of the absence of a father, what happens with a godly father, the presence of a godly father, the presence of a caring father, the presence of a protective father, the presence of a father who nurtures. I want to speak words of encouragement to every father listening. I want to speak words of encouragement to every kid listening, being raised by your dad, about the importance of fathers. I want to speak to spiritual fathers that have key discipling roles in the lives of others. Your life plays a tremendous role. Your life, for good or for bad, has tremendous impact. The mother plays a special role and the father plays a special role. And the impact that these lives, the dad in this case, can have on kids growing up and people being nurtured is massive, for good or for bad. Let me go straight to the phones. Javaro in Spring, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you. So what's your story, sir?
My story is I grew up without a father. He left when I was about 8 months old and moved to California. Him and my mom separated. But my mom and me, our relationship strayed also. She was involved in an abusive relationship, and so I was mostly raised by my grandmother. And the absence of a father, I think, did play some role in my life. Maybe growing up, not having that influence and that guidance. But my grandmother did give me something that was special. She gave me the truth of the gospel. And as I got older, I realized that that was more special, having my heavenly father in my life than having any earthly father. And now that I'm a father myself, I do raise my kids in the truth of the word of Christ and the word of God. And all the principles that my grandmother gave me are plays a role off in my children being raised also. So it was a negative at first, but it turned out to be a positive. I try to be a great father myself and lead them to where they don't go astray themselves, you know, bring them up in the way that they should go, and, you know, they'll follow when they get older.
Yeah, and you recognize the absence, what you didn't have there, for all the more do you want to make that up. And also, there's a redemptive story for others listening. That's why I mentioned kids raised by single moms or by a grandmother, that if kids can be introduced to God, the Father, the Heavenly Father, He is the ultimate Father. So, Javaro, thanks for sharing a story of redemption. Continue to be a great father to your kids. How many kids do you have?
I have 3 kids.
And what are the age ranges?
I have a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Awesome.
2 boys. My oldest is a boy. My youngest is a boy.
Awesome. Hey, thank you for calling and sharing that. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you know many atheists had father issues? Please hear me. I'm not saying all. I'm not saying there are not atheists who don't have issues today with the concept of God or the concept of the existence of God or the goodness of God. I'm simply saying, if you'll check the stories of many atheists, you'll find that either they grew up without a father, or they had a very hostile relationship with an earthly father, or the earthly father was very weak and a symbol of weakness to them, and they equated that with God and religious faith. It's very interesting. I've read books like The Atheist Syndrome by psychologists who've gathered these biographical accounts one after another after another. I do believe there's such a thing as atheists. I believe that atheists exist, that there are people who say there is no God, and to the core of their being, that's what they believe. I believe that. I also believe in many cases it is not due to primarily an intellectual or philosophical argument, but to some disappointment in life and often to a father issue. There are people who have a hard time relating to God the Father because of the negative influence or absence of earthly fathers. Hurley in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes.
Yes, hello, Hurley. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to mention that being one of 14 kids, I had a father, but that wasn't it, you know, that present. At times physically, but not mentally or both. But anyways, but my parents taught me the word. They did brought me up on the, you know, the way they're supposed to. And what I find is that, you know, there is the one that's the father of the fatherless, and the one that, you know, he is the father of the orphan or the husband of the woman that, you know, single or the single parent mom. And the thing is, he came to this earth and he was, you know, he was, he had a stepdaddy. He had a stepdaddy. And the idea that, because someone doesn't have the father present, or, maybe a stepdaddy or no man, we cannot keep our minds and our hearts, you know, on that, because that's where we're going to lose our hope in our, trust in God. We need to meditate in His word, in what He has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, like you're saying, He's the one that came.
And Hurley, you know, when you mention the things God says about himself and being the father of the orphan, the father of the fatherless, and then another revelation of who he is, the husband to the widow, those are real things. Those are not just words on a page. Those are not just literary or theological concepts. That is spiritual divine truth. The problem is that many people, because of a negative influence with an earthly father, have a hard time relating to God as Heavenly Father, or their earthly father let them down. They wanted their earthly father to be somehow a knight in shining armor, and then it seems God lets them down. I want to encourage you. God is trustworthy. Our Father is trustworthy. There's a reason Jesus told us to pray to the Father. All right, we'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, talk about confusion with fathers and how kids are raised and issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's an article, Woody Allen's son drops Father's Day bomb. Father's Day might always be a tricky holiday for Woody Allen, but this year was particularly awkward. Ronan Farrow, the 24-year-old son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen, let loose yesterday tweeting, "Happy Father's Day," or as they call it, my family, "Happy Brother-in-Law's Day." Woody and Ronan have been estranged for years since his parents split, and because Woody was dating and later married Soon-Yi Previn, Mia's adopted daughter, Ronan's stepsister. He has been quoted in the past as saying, "He's my father, married to my sister, that makes me his son, and his brother-in-law, that is such a moral transgression." Wow. Enough said. 866-348-7884. We're talking about the effect of the father, absence of the father, presence of the father. A few months ago, I did a story about kids whose father is an anonymous sperm donor. Dr. Keith Ablo has an article. I'll share a little bit more of that with you later, where he makes a plea for no more anonymous sperm donors. A Father's Day plea. Let's stop anonymous sperm donations. Maybe I'll even read again part of a poem written by a 19-year-old about her father. Who is he? Just an anonymous sperm donor. And yet that's her dad. That's half of who she is. Wow. Quick story, and then back to your calls. I got saved, 71, right before I got saved, the two other band members I played with, I played drums, the guitarist and the bass player got saved right before me. And we were all close friends, and the best man at my wedding was the bass player, and I was the best man in his wedding. Well, we all got saved at the same time, and we'd often compare notes, how much time you spend praying today, how much time you spend with the Lord today. And we just compared, I spent 3 hours in prayer in the Word, 3 hours in prayer in the Word. We just kind of exhorted each other, but we were brand new, you know, 16, 17 years old. Well, one day, talked to my friend, how much time you spend praying, a half hour, what happened? I messed up, you know, some minor failure, and felt guilty and didn't pray. I said, I messed up the same way. I said, really? I said, yeah, I spent 3 hours in prayer. I said, how'd you spend all that time in prayer? I mean, didn't you feel condemned? I said, no, I asked for forgiveness and went on. Well, come to realize over the years that somehow the way I've been raised impacted me in a way that made it easier to relate to my Heavenly Father and receive forgiveness from my Heavenly Father. And I believe my friend was hurt. His dad committed suicide when he was fairly young. I never really got to know his dad. And I believe it was either before his teen years or right at the beginning of that. So such formative years. And a real tragic story. In the early days of LSD and these drugs being introduced, some people did really vicious, crazy things, like spike certain foods with LSD. And then people would eat the food and not know that they were hallucinating, not know what was happening to them, especially if they had no drug background. Well, there was a famous hot dog place where we grew up on Long Island, Nathan's Hot Dogs. And somebody spiked the mustard there with LSD. And his dad had a hot dog, got spiked mustard, ended up hallucinating, not knowing what happened to him, no clue what was happening. And then he'd have these flashbacks, finally killed himself. My dad, even though he was not a follower of Jesus when I came to faith, He actually would come in here, he'd preach once I began to preach, and we'd interact about these things all the time. But here is a Jewish man, is loving a father, my mom to this day, hopefully listening today, Mom, 89 years old, is loving, affirming a mom as you could possibly ask for. But before I was saved, the most shameful thing I did was not all the drug use, not lying to my best friends, not even breaking into some homes in a doctor's office, but stealing money from my own father was the most shameful thing I ever did. And he knew I was doing it, and he moved the money to another location. You know, I take $40, $60 cash. I thought he won't notice it's missing. And then I took an envelope filled with cash. I don't know, it was probably a couple hundred dollars in there, and gave it to some friends or used it for whatever. And my father knew I did it. I insisted some folks broke into the house. Some friends did, and I thought I knew he did it. So just to punish me, even though he knew it was me, he said, okay, no friends can come to the house. And shortly after that, I got saved. One night, we were sitting at the kitchen table talking, and he said, Michael, did you steal that money? How could I tell my own dad I did? I said, no, Dad, I didn't. He said, oh, okay. And I was so smitten with conviction for lying, I said, I got to go to my room. So I went upstairs to my bedroom room, smitten with conviction. I got on my knees, and I started praying, and oh, I was in agony of conviction. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for lying. And then the conviction left. It's like, oh, maybe I don't have to tell my dad. Oh, that hit me again with such intensity. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll go tell my dad immediately. And I go back downstairs. And I said, Dad, I said, I stole the money. I did it. Here's what my dad said to me. Are you ready? He said, I knew that you did it the moment I saw the money missing. And the moment I saw the money missing, I forgave you. This is my earthly father. He said, but what hurt me was that you had a need and you didn't come to me and ask me for help. I realized that foundation from my earthly father made it very easy for me to receive forgiveness to this day from my heavenly father. I hate sin. I hate iniquity. I have grieved over things I've done that have displeased the Lord or hurt others. I've grieved and wept before the Lord in repentance as a believer. But receiving forgiveness comes easily, and I believe that is also because of the influence of my earthly father, who died suddenly at the age of 63, 1977. Of course, I've missed him ever since then, but his influence for good was felt. Dads, you play a massive role, massive role. Maybe I'm talking to an absentee dad right now. You fathered kids, and you're away from them. Time to humble yourself, get right with God, and reconcile. It's never too late to start to make up for the loss and start to repair what was missing and ask God to do something miraculous. All right. Thank you for being patient on the phones. I felt it was important to share that illustration from my earthly father. I'm going to come back and take all of your calls in the next half hour. You can keep listening online if you're losing the station right now. You can keep listening online. AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. And I've got a wonderfully important resource offer for you, friends. The Holy Spirit speaks and leads today. The Holy Spirit, in that sense, has a voice. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into a place of blessing and grace and knowing the will of the Father. I've got a 12-hour teaching series on one CD for your computer or for your MP3 player, all right? It's normally $20 plus postage. This week, $10 postage paid. How to be led by the Holy Spirit. Some of the most practical teaching you'll ever get on understanding the voice of God, the will of God, the leading of God, and how to walk in it yourself. This is to listen to on your computer or for your MP3 player. Just $10 postage paid for 12 hours of teaching. Call to order right now. Here's the number, 1-800-278-9978. Especially if you're struggling with knowing and finding the will of God, getting deeper into God's purposes. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, news yesterday, Rodney King became nationally famous when he was terribly beaten, black man terribly beaten by white cops a little over 20 years ago. The cops were acquitted or found not guilty, and it sparked riots across the country. Many of you remember that, lived through that painful time as we just saw all types of injustice in our society. Well, as the riots broke out and exploded, there was a white truck driver, Reginald Denny, who was beaten up by some black men. Again, the effect of the Rodney King video being shown across the nation, there was outrage, and so a lot of violence broke out. But here's one of the men. Here's one of the men who attacked and seriously injured Reginald Denny. I just want you to hear his upbringing. All right, he was 19 years old at this time when he attacked Reginald Denny. His mother was a drug addict. As a child, he was sent to live with his grandmother. So notice, no father. When he was 12, his grandmother killed his grandfather and was convicted of this murder, leaving him homeless. And then someone else, another mother, took him in to the home. Yeah, obviously, he was guilty of the crime he committed. This kid had a lot of strikes against him in his upbringing. Broken homes have a tremendous effect on people. I want to remind you that there is redemption, there is healing, there is restoration. There's no condemnation if you're in the midst of a broken home now. I simply want to say these are serious issues that must be addressed. 866-348-7884. Do you have your own story in your own life of the influence of a father, the absence of a father, and how that negatively impacted you? Or the presence of an ungodly father and how that negatively impacted you, or the presence of a godly father or a godly spiritual father and the positive impact that had. Back to the phones. Claire in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Claire, yes, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking the call. Very interesting topic. And I've been reflecting on my own father. Recently, later in life, I discovered that in spite of my outward appearance of success, and I think that most people would say I'm successful, there's something very, very wounded inside of me. My father was not absent. We wished he would be absent, but he wasn't. He was a very violent man. He was abusive toward my mother. He was abusive toward all of the children in the household. He suffered a great deal himself. He came from a very, very abusive home. His father was an alcoholic and used to abuse him and his brother and his mother, and then he ran away. So, you know, the cycle continued in our household. And when I think about the impact he had on me, it only occurred to me later in life that I have a huge issue with trust. And that's trusting God or anyone other than myself. I am somebody who rarely looks to others, whether they're earthbound or not, for assistance, because I learned very early in life not to rely on my parents, either one of them, because my father was abusive and my mother was really completely powerless in the face of all of that. So it's only now that I'm realizing and sensing that without this trust, without this ability to trust, whether it's God or even people around you, it can be a very lonely and isolating human life. And
yeah.
That's what I'm working on today as an older person.
Wonderful. Claire, tell you what, I want you to stay through the break because I just want to address this on the other side of the break. But the beginning of the solution is recognizing the problem. Recognizing the need. We deceive ourselves to think that we grow up in these broken environments without some wounds in our own lives and issues that need attention. The good news is God our Father is the ultimate healer and restorer. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about the effect of the Father, the absence of the Father, the presence of the Father, the influence, impact they have on lives. Claire, I'm not a professional counselor, but I've ministered to many people over the years and listened to many people over the years. Obviously, the biggest thing is building that trust with God the Father. If you have godly leaders, friends around you, folks that are gifted in counseling to help work through some of these issues with you, and remembering Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted, there are breaches we can have on the inside as well as on the outside, that's wonderful. But just recognizing the need, that's such an important place to start. And there are a number of books like this by Floyd McClung, for example, M.C., capital C-L-U-N-G, Floyd McClung, a good starting point, The Father Heart of God, Experiencing the Depths of His Love for You, The Father Heart of God by Floyd McClung. But if you'll search for books like that, you'll find quite a number, and often that's the place to start. And as you come to trust God, your Father, more deeply, you'll find that trust with other people who are worthy of that trust. So Claire, bless you, especially for recognizing these things later in life after, quote, success, that there's something deeper, and that's relationship. One more thought for you. Jesus, as he prayed to the Father in John 17, said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah whom you sent." Why do I quote that? Because eternal life consists in knowing God. Eternal life consists in a relationship. And ultimately, as human beings, we were made for relationship with God and with one another. 866-34-TRUTH. I don't know if this story is true or not. I heard it from a respectable preacher, so I'll just put it like that. These folks were ministering in a prison, ministering to men in prison. And come Mother's Day, they suggested that the men be given cards, Mother's Day cards, to write personal notes to their moms, and they would take care of sending them out. And there was an overwhelming request. Everybody wanted to send one out, and they actually had to get more cards. It was a tremendous success. Obviously, hit a real need. Well, now came time for Father's Day, and they had such a tremendous response to Mother's Day. They went ahead and did with this for Father's Day, and nobody asked for Father's Day cards. To the extent that that's illustrative of the absence of the Father, the effect that has on our prison population, to the extent it's an accurate story, it is a telling story, and one that we need to look at carefully as dads and then those in single-parent households to say, okay, there's a deficit. With God's grace, we can make up for that, but we'll need to work towards making up for that. 866-348-7884. Bob in Philly, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you, sir.
Good. I'm loving your show. I just wanted to talk about, I come from a background of Messianic ministry in Israel and also some of the what you'd call, I guess, the big names here in America. But I think generally I'm encouraged about the state of the church in terms of spiritually fathering people, although I think there's still a big deficit. I think a lot of times, especially in ministries that run internships and things like that, the relationship often looks like more like rulers and servants as opposed to fathers and sons. And I think a good litmus test of this is whether we allow or create distance when there's moral failure, you know, whether we divorce our spiritual sons over moral failures, or whether we, I think like Jesus, you know, we come close, we draw close, stay committed. And I think ultimately when we can start doing those things, then we're ready to represent the Father to the world. So I think generally we're starting to get it, but I still think there's a big deficit, you know?
Yeah. And some circles, Bob, there's real health with spiritual fathering and mentoring, and other circles there's not. And then there's some we've been through in the States with abuse, where somehow a person thinks as a leader they're supposed to control every area of someone's life. But a bottom line spiritual principle is that everything in the kingdom reproduces after its own kind, not just in the natural world, but in the spiritual world. So coldness reproduces coldness. Passion reproduces passion. Compromise reproduces compromise. Dedication reproduces dedication. And it's often been said, this may go back to John Maxwell, I'm not sure who, but the saying is true. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And that's going to be the same with spiritual fathers as it is with natural fathers. And Bob, the point about not disowning someone that falls, the key thing is that that person that messes up needs to be loved and affirmed so that they can humble themselves and receive help and grow. Sometimes spiritual pride comes in, and because of it, we don't humble ourselves and we won't receive help. But absolutely, the ones that are hurting the most, the ones that realize they've blown it the most, they're the ones that need a real father, not just someone that's going to use them for their talents and successes. But Bob, thank you for giving a positive assessment that there is positive spiritual development, positive spiritual fathering. I'll talk more about that in a moment, the concept of the role of a spiritual father. But let's continue looking right within the home. Ron in Martinsburg, Virginia. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thank you.
Well, my issue is I look at the situation as far as how the courts pull the father out of the family after a divorce. And I've just recently went through a divorce, and every time I've gone back to court, I've got less and less time with my son. So that's the part that's bothering me. And I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, Ron, how old is your son?
He's 3.
Oh, boy, that's got to hurt.
You
know, generally speaking, from what I understand from other dads, the courts often look at generalizations, the generalization of the mom being the one that's going to be raising the kids, especially when they're younger. Perhaps the courts even being more willing to listen to the mom as opposed to the dad. But there is hope, sir. And what I want to encourage you to do is when the aching is there and the pain is there and the absence is there, pray for your kid like crazy. Pray for him that he will really come to know God and that he'll know your love. And then just pray that God would enable you to be involved back in his life. Wherever the Lord convicts you of shortcomings or wherever there's been a breakdown with you and your ex-wife, just pray for God to be a redeemer. And then you do everything you know how to do. I do believe that the courts will see persistence and desire to be involved. And as you do that, God will enable you to get back in with your son. I believe that'll happen, and perhaps there'll be a reconciliation even beyond that. But take the pain and turn it to prayer. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The divorce is over, and the rulings have been made. And like I said, every time I went back to court, I've got less and less time with him. And my son adores me. I'm his dad, and he loves to be around me, but his mother just does not want him to be around me.
How often are you seeing him now, Ron?
Well, it was 2 days a week and during the weekend, but they cut it down to 2 days every other weekend. And that's just
gotta feel like eternity. All right, well, listen, let's pray right now, Ron, because God can turn the heart of judges and God can turn the heart of your ex-wife. All right, Father, I ask you to do what's right and best for Ron and for his son and for this whole family. Father, I ask you to turn everything meant for evil into something for greater good. And even the pain of this divorce and the separation, these things that you hate, I pray, God, that Ron, through this, would become an even better father and have an even greater relationship with his son. And Lord, hear the cry of his heart, and as he seeks you and refuses to let go, Lord, you are the judge of all judges. You're bigger than any earthly judge. Do what is right and best in the life of this boy. We ask it in Jesus' name. All right, Ron, you hang in there and you go to God every day and God will see your heart and your life and he'll answer. All right?
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right. Boy, there are a lot of situations like that. And please, I know there are a million different situations of injustice and back and forth and abuse and other issues. And each one has your own story. I understand that. We're talking in general right now as I responded to Ron in terms of how courts act and don't act. But bottom line is God is the ultimate judge. And friends, don't take as final what a court or an earthly individual says is final. A court, a lawyer, a judge, a boss. Ultimately, even if one thing ends up being finalized, God can open another door. Even where there is a loss that is irreparable in this world, God can still work in other ways in this world as well to bring redemption and restoration. So everyone that is in the midst of real loss and you see no way to fix this situation, remember, if you keep your focus on the Lord, His promises are true. And everything Satan and the world and circumstances mean for evil can be turned for greater good. Back with your calls and an important story I want to share with you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
On this day after Father's Day here on The Line of Fire, we're talking about the effect of the Father, the absence of the Father, the presence of the Father. I shared this story when I preached at my home congregation, Fire Church, yesterday, and it came from a book that I had read as a new father 35 years ago called The Effective Father. And here's the story. It is said of James Boswell, the famous biographer of Samuel Johnson, Johnson being one of the great leaders in early American history, and Boswell wrote a biography about him which many considered the greatest biography ever written. It is said of James Boswell, the famous biographer of Samuel Johnson, that he often referred to a special day in his childhood when his father took him fishing. The day was fixed in his adult mind, and he often reflected upon many of the things his father had taught him in the course of their fishing experience together. After having heard of that particular excursion so often, it occurred to someone much later to check the journal that Boswell's father kept and determine what had been said about the fishing trip from the parental perspective. So what did Boswell's dad say about this day that they went fishing? It was so impacting on the son's life. Often talked about the lessons he learned. What did the dad say about it? Turning to that date in the father's journal, the reader found only one sentence entered. Gone fishing today with my son. A day wasted. Oh, you hear that, your heart sinks. The name of that chapter in the book was Never a Day Wasted. And I certainly didn't live all of my fathering days. I continue to be a father and a grandfather now, but raising our kids as they were little with Nancy, I certainly didn't live that out all the time, but I never forgot that story. And now with the grandkids, you never know, even just playing around and being silly and having fun, and what kind of influence you can have, what kind of role model you can be. What effect your life has, even when you went fishing with my son, didn't do anything today. You have no idea the lessons that can be learned and the truths that can be imparted and just that secure presence of dad being there, the difference it can make. 866-34-TRUTH. Marianne in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
You always have such wonderful topics. Thank you. I have a chance to call in today. I was raised by a wonderful dad in 2003, passed away. But he, not only was he in the ministry, and he ended up in my last, 25 years of life being the pastor of our church, but I learned some so wonderful things from him. I used to manage, and I've taken manager courses through my job. And about 25 years ago, I was sent to this seminar on managing resolution conflict. And what the process they took us through, I said to my instructor, this is the way my dad used to discipline us. He used to sit us on one bed, and he'd sit on the other, and he'd look us dead in the eye. And he would begin to talk to us about how much God loved us, and Jesus loved us, and him and my mom loved us. And I told my class that day, when I got to be about 10, I used to think to myself, I wish he would just beat me and get it over with, because his discipline was such at a level of love. When I became a Christian, I don't doubt God. When I heard you pray for that gentleman a minute ago, By faith, I believe that's already done. And that's only because of the example that my dad set for me. I've met people, and the church has got to be sensitive to this. Everybody, they don't believe like that. And it's because they didn't have an earthly father as an example of what God looked like. And so I just wanted to share that. I just wanted to give my dad honor today, but I really wanted to thank him because it's taught me how to be sensitive to those who have not been raised with the privilege that I had of having my father around.
Yeah, Marianne, thank you for sharing that. It parallels what I shared about my own earthly father and the influence that he had on me in that positive sense. So thank you for sharing that. And let me say this again to all of you who listen and say, I didn't have a dad like that. I didn't have a father like that. You can get to know God the Father like that. You may have a couple of hurdles to overcome that someone raised differently doesn't. But our God is such that as you come to lean on him and look to him and put your trust in him, he will show himself trustworthy. Can you pray to Jesus directly according to the New Testament? Yes. But the pattern of prayer is to be directed to the Father. Why? Because he is the Father. Because God wants us to relate to him as Father. Doesn't God ultimately transcend gender in that God created us male and female, and it's only male and female together that fully represent him? True. Yet he primarily reveals himself to us as the Father. And he wants us to come to him and lean on him and come to him as our source and come to him as the foundation for our security and come to him as the foundation for all of our needs being met. As we lean on him, as we look to him, we will find indeed he is the Heavenly Father, a perfect father. And all earthly fathers, I encourage you to meditate on who God is and then to say, all right, I'm to be an earthly reflection of that. Oh no, not to be God to someone, but to be an earthly reflection of that. In the home, to make my wife and kids feel secure. In the home, for them to know that I am putting my trust in God and walking with God as an example, and they can feel security and strength from that, and that I'm going to him to ask for wisdom, because parenting is challenging, to ask for wisdom, and together with my wife to be able to pour wisdom into the kids that God has given. And again, to all those who have this tremendous absence in your life, either growing up or presently, God and the people he puts in your life can make up for that void in a great way. Friends, everyone on hold, I'm going to continue this conversation in the next hour, so stay right there. I want to get to your calls shortly. And I want to encourage every one of you that is seeking God. How do I know the will of God? How can I hear God's voice? Does God speak today? How can I know? What's he calling me to do? What about the direction I should take? How can I really be led by the Spirit? How does the Spirit work in my life? I've got a 12-hour teaching series. In fact, I'm about to listen to it again to sharpen things in my own life. 12 hours in 8 lectures, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, as practical as you can imagine. It's to listen to on your computer or for your MP3 player. It's only a $20 series plus postage. It's yours this week for just $10 postage paid, how to be led by the Spirit. So order today. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Or go online, just click on askdrbrown.org and click on our online bookstore. It'll come up as the first resource, 1-800-278-9978, a practical, life-changing series, How to Be Led by the Spirit. My bottom line today, never underestimate the power of the role of the Father, the destructive influence of a negative or absentee Father, the life-giving, life-changing influence of a positive, godly Father. The absence of a Father, the presence of a Father, boy, what a difference it makes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, yesterday was Father's Day. And I was asked to preach at Fire Church. That's our home congregation. I'm the founder of the ministry of the congregation, the school, our missions organization. I do not actively lead any of those entities. They are led by others within our organization. But I normally preach once a month at Fire. I preached earlier this month, but I was asked if I could preach again yesterday. And it was Father's Day, and I prayed for Father's Day message. And God laid a lot of important truths on my heart and some important anecdotes and illustrations to share, and apparently many were impacted. It's the day after Father's Day, but I want to continue to talk about fathers today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884, the number to call. Online, you can weigh in at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I talked about this last hour. Our phones rang off the hook for most of the program. I want to continue talking about this subject, the absence of a father, presence of a father. I have a lot of things to share this hour. I did not share the first hour, which means you can listen to both hours later online and find both hours profitable and life-changing. But I want to start with something that I started with last hour. I want to repeat this. I know many of you listening right now are in fatherless homes. Whatever reason, through death in the family, through divorce, through kids being born out of wedlock, you're a kid being raised in a fatherless home. You're a mom or a grandmother raising kids in a fatherless home. I want to say that while I talk about deficits and needs, it does not mean there cannot be restoration. One of our first callers said that he was raised by his grandmother, that his father left when he was 8 months old, but that through his grandmother, she taught him the truths of the gospel, and he came to know God as father. And now he's raising his three kids the way a godly father should raise kids. So as I talk about the absence of a father, if some of you share the negative things that happened in your own life because of the absence of a father, there is hope. There is hope for restoration. There is hope that deficits can be made up. And there are plenty of fine, upstanding, key people in our society, in the church, and in the world at large who were raised in fatherless homes. So this is not some death sentence or death knell, but there is a real deficit that has to be made up. And God, with his people, can make up that deficit. All right, my question to you, was your own life negatively influenced by the absence of a father or the presence of an ungodly father or an absentee father who was there but not there, if you know what I mean? Were you negatively influenced by that? Did it open the door for wrong things in your life? Has there been restoration from that in knowing the Lord? Or can you point to the clear positive influence of a father, that you are who you are today because of that positive influence? Before I take your calls, which I'll do very shortly, I want to read part of this poem from the AnonymousUs.org website, Children of Anonymous Sperm Donors. Uncertainty is killing me. Here goes the poem. Who are you? Will I pass you in the street? Will you hold the door for me and smile as I walk into a gas station during my travels? Will you look at me and wonder if I belong to you? You have the pleasure of knowing I could be here. For 19 years, I was denied of knowing you even existed. What was my grandmother, your mother, like? What about my grandfather, your father? Why do you get to selfishly keep them all to yourself? Who are you to deny me half of my family tree? Branches rich and strong with stories I may never be told. Who are you to give away my heritage, knowing it will be replaced with something false? Do I have brothers and sisters with my dark hair, my deep brown eyes? Will I be attracted to a familiar stranger in my classes while I fall in love with him and kiss him passionately in an act of accidental incest? Have you told your wife? Have you told your partner? What about your children? It goes on and on. Kids deprived of knowing their dad. Wow.
Fire we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, just producing offspring is not what fathers do. Fathers do not simply multiply and reproduce. Fathers nurture and care for. Oh, it could be that your dad would have been a great dad, but he died when you were young. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about choices that are made when someone simply has sex with a woman. She gets pregnant. Now he, quote, has a kid, and he may have kids with a bunch of different women, but he's not there. He's not an influence in their lives. Maybe he pays child support in there. That's not being a father. Nor is it being a father to be an anonymous sperm donor. There's some that may have had several hundred children. Wow. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm about to go to the phones. First, Dr. Keith Ablo, commentator often on Fox News. His Father's Day plea, we're just a few days away from Father's Day 2012. On Sunday, June 17th, Americans will celebrate the value of fatherhood. We just did that yesterday. Yet without seemingly having given it much thought at all, our society now allows millions of men and women to create children who will never know their biological fathers. That's because we sanction allowing men and women to purchase sperm from anonymous donors. These donors will forever be shielded from having their identities discovered by their sons and daughters. This policy inherently presupposes that bearing children who have no opportunity to know their biological fathers does not deprive them of anything that is inherently theirs as a fundamental human right. It also presupposes that the biological connection between fathers and children is without much value at all, since in a wholesale, or shall I say retail manner, we sanction tens of millions of kids being born who have no idea whatsoever who their biological fathers are and can never find out, period. It also presupposes that men who anonymously donate their semen are not short on some facet of empathy or humanity that ultimately means we are transmitting an undesirable personality trait to future generations. None of this, by the way, has anything to do with adoption. When a child is adopted, many have the option of finding their parents later on. And even if they can't, their adoptions, into hopefully loving homes were a solution to other problems in their early lives that needed to be solved. Artificial insemination by anonymous sperm donors solves no problem of any child. It is a convenience to adults who are encountering fertility problems and would prefer the convenience of jettisoning part of their child's true life history in order to commandeer that child from its true biological father. And he goes on. He says, it is an affront to the human rights of children thus born and an affront to one inherent dimension, the biological dimension, which is not a sterile one, but also a spiritual one, of fatherhood. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Maria in Bayonne, New Jersey. Thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Well, my upbringing was not positive at all. It was a very angry home. My father seemed to be angry all the time. Mm. And at the same time, my mom suffered with anxiety and depression. So at a young age, I did give my heart to the Lord, but it took about 20 years to truly be healed from that inner, frustrations and anger and rejection. I mean, my father was there. He provided. He was a great provider, but he was always angry, and his favorite word for us was stupid. Mm. And it took a long time for God to heal that. And it started, the healing process, I could say, started by the husband he gave me. He was a godly man. He had a loving father, total opposite.
Yeah.
And by me watching him with our children, it just would make me cry because it was so beautiful and it was something I never had. And it just started the healing process in me, but it wasn't until I was in my early 30s. That God truly delivered me from those feelings of, now I can speak about it and not get upset because I have forgiven my dad. He's been gone for 12 years. And the day before he passed away, he said, I love you. And it was the very first time he ever said, I love you. Now, I was 40 years old when he told me that.
Really?
So it was just, and that just completed the total healing. I did learn to love him, and he was a different man once I married. He had six daughters,
yeah.
So It was very difficult. It was very dysfunctional. And through my husband, who was very loving and total opposite, I always prayed that God would give me someone that was the total opposite of my father.
Really?
And he did.
Now, Maria, let me just ask you something. You shared some very profound and personal things, and especially the fact that you're on the other side of it in a whole state afterwards is so important. When you were growing up and your father was angry and putting you down, do you remember how it made you feel as a young girl growing up?
Absolutely. I felt so worthless. I would go in my room and literally hit my head against the wall, because I couldn't please him. I couldn't please my mother. And to be honest with you, when the church doors were open, I was there, because that's the only place I found peace. The people there were wonderful to me. You know, great women and men of God in the church that loved me unconditionally. So I never wanted to be home, but I was always in the church. But it still took me a long time to truly feel forgiven by God. And for me to go to him, it was very difficult, because I always felt like I failed him, that I wasn't worthy enough, I wasn't good enough. And it really did, you know, bring a lot of pain in my life. But today, God brings so much healing, though. There is healing.
He does, and sometimes it's instantaneous, but many times it's not, because these are deep parts of who we are, how we've
Absolutely.
Self-identified. And fathers, hear me, don't just make excuses, I get angry. In the Lord, there is a place of self-control. Do a study in the book of Proverbs. Maria, I once taught on this, and it says that the person who's short-tempered exalts folly. And I said, dads, and I would preach this to myself, you lose your temper, you're holding up a sign for your whole family to see, and it says, I am a fool. That's the sign you're holding up. But more importantly, think of the damage that it does. Hear what Maria's saying, and recognize that this affects self-worth. Maria, I'm sure you could understand how girls could then just get totally promiscuous because they find no self-value,
absolutely.
Try to find love and acceptance that way. How it can lead to other depressive acts and even suicide, because my own father says I'm stupid and worthless. And then you transfer that over to God. And then obviously that affects your mother, and the anxiety, whatever anxiety she had to start in a marriage like that, makes it even worse. Thank God go ahead.
No, I'm saying it was there, because it hers started with her dad, who was very abusive. You know, we come from Europe, we come from Italy. And, so that when we came to America, the best thing that happened to us is that somebody led my mom to the Lord, and we started going to church, because that really saved me. You know, being in church around God's family just saved me. And God was so good that he even gave me a godly husband, and that healing process. But now we have a daughter and two sons, and my daughter's his little girl, his little princess. And it's just so beautiful to see how God restores what the locusts have taken from us.
The last thought I have is that many people who were raised in abusive homes then marry an abusive spouse and repeat the cycle. So when you prayed for God to give you someone the opposite of your earthly father, the Lord really did that. And then, of course, he's revealed himself beautifully as Heavenly Father. Maria, thanks for sharing that. It's very important
you.
Our listeners heard it. God bless you.
God bless you too, Dr. Brown. Bye-bye.
All right. Boy, I could say a lot more, but just let that story sit. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, anonymous caller in Texas. You can speak totally freely. We don't know who you are or even what city you're calling from, sir.
Well, God bless you, Dr. Brown. It is a pleasure being able to be on the air to speak with you and talk about this issue. There's a reason why I didn't give my name, because I'm kind of known in the area where I'm at.
No,
but
please.
I am a pastor for 27 years, and my story is very bad. I grew up not knowing who my real biological father is to this day.
Really?
I have a stepfather that made it very clear that I wasn't his son. There was a lot of physical and verbal abuse when I was growing up. I've learned over the years since I've been saved to take all this before the Lord, because I had hatred in my heart against him and against my mother for my mother not sharing with me who my real biological father was. I had to find out through other family members that knew. But subsequently, I prayed to the Father and asked him to forgive me for harboring hatred and malice and anger in my heart. So I have no anger, no bitterness, no hatred against my stepfather nor my mom. But what it has done prior to being saved, I was very promiscuous and have several children out there by several different women.
Mm. Let me just jump in, and I want to hear the rest of your story on the other side of the break. This is the effect, friends, as our brother's sharing this, of an absentee father. And then a stepfather, instead of being an embracing man, saying, hey, I'm going to raise you as my own kid, makes it clear you're not my kid. Devastating effect. Thank God for his healing power, restoring power. But devastating effect before that. All right, we'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this day after Father's Day today on the Line of Fire. I had a stack of things to get to today and a lot of things happening around the world that deserve attention, but I decided to start by talking about the effect of the father. That was the title of the message that I gave yesterday at Fire Church. It'll be online soon. You'll be able to listen to it. We'll tell you how to do that shortly, hopefully in the next day or two. Excuse me while I clear my throat. But as I introduced the subject hour and 20 minutes ago and wanted to talk to you, our listeners, about the negative effect of the absence of a father or of an ungodly father, or the positive effect, the presence of a father, godly father, we've gotten some very poignant, very important phone calls through this last hour and 20 minutes, and we're going to continue to take calls and interact, and I have more to share. So this is our one and only subject for today, the effect of the father on this day after Father's Day. So we're speaking to a gentleman somewhere in Texas. He's a pastor and wants to be able to share his story anonymously for those just tuning in. Never known to this day who his biological father is. His stepfather, who was involved in raising him, made it clear that that was not his son, and he suffered different kinds of abuse growing up, came to know the Lord, and is now in pastoral ministry for many years. But, sir, you were telling us that part of the effect of being raised the way you were raised was promiscuity and fathering children out of wedlock. Can you give us a little more insight, sir, into the connection, how that happened, not knowing your earthly father, being raised by a man who made it clear he was not your father, how that affected you in terms of your relationship to other women or fathering children?
I can go back and think about probably when I was about 16, 17, I made a conscious decision, since I was repeatedly told that I was the black sheep of the family. So that became a prophecy, fulfilled prophecy. I became the black sheep of the family on purpose. Mm-hmm. I went out and became promiscuous at a very young age. Had my first child at a very young age because I had no father figure at all. Even the church, I grew up in the church. The church I attended, there were no father figures there. And as a result of that, it kind of took me to a lifestyle of just being promiscuous until I began to have these encounters with the Lord about 16, 17, 18 years old. And from there, I had to make some decisions that I need to change my life. And so it was around about 19, 20, somewhere around up in there when I really just surrendered my heart to the Lord. But prior to all of that, a lot of the listeners need to understand that this is a very serious issue. I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm still dealing with the repercussions of the decisions I've made way back then. I love all of my kids. I have relationships with all of them now, well, with the exception of two. But God is working all that out as well. But It's a lot more I can say to this, but I know you got a lot more callers here. But this is
so important to hear. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You mentioned the lack of father figures in the church. Do you mean that there were just mainly women raising their kids, and there weren't men there, or the men that were there weren't real father figures either?
No, it was probably half and half in the mm-hmm. church, half men, half women.
Yeah.
From the pastor all the way down, you know, I grew up in a traditional church, but there was no real structure in terms of how to live right.
Okay,
I
understand.
Looking at right, you know, I mean, I'm trying to be polite here.
No. I appreciate that. And let me ask this: you mentioned implications to this day, and you're 50 years old, or ramifications. So is that primarily in the fact that you fathered all these kids out of wedlock, and you're still working on each of these lives, or were there other things as well that you were referring to?
No, primarily that. I didn't get involved in some of the other things that's sometimes associated with that, like drugs. I wasn't a person that got involved in drugs and alcohol. There's certain things I stayed away from. I just had an issue with women and sexual promiscuity and stuff. So, but all of this happened prior to me getting saved.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been saved, I'm married now for the second time, actually, going on 10 years in marriage, and have a beautiful ready-made family and so forth. And I have a relationship with my wife's kids, which I have taken to be my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't call them step.
Right, right. I understand.
At all. I call them my kids.
And, you know, so, you mentioned the black sheep thing, and a previous caller woman said how her dad was always angry, whether she was raised by her real dad, but he was always angry with her and the wife and the other kids, and said she was worthless and stupid. And I remember hearing the exact opposite of this, where there was a kid named Jerry, and his mom raised him, and, you know, mom and dad, godly parents, and his mom would always be praying for him, and she'd always say, "You're a good boy. You're, you know, Jerry, you are a good boy. Jerry," and tell us, "Jerry's a good boy." Well, he went out, he got into rebellion for a few years, and every time he'd really try to cross a certain line and sin more deeply, he couldn't, because he'd hear this voice and it said, "Jerry's a good boy. Jerry's a good boy. Jerry, you're a good boy. Jerry's a good boy." And as comical as it sounds, it prevented him from crossing certain lines. Here you were told that you're the black sheep. It's like, all right, I'm going to be the black sheep. That's who I am. That's how I'm going to live. And here's someone else told he's a good boy. He's a good boy. And because of that, he can't cross certain lines. So the example we set and the words that we speak from our hearts, they really make an impact. Sir, thank you for sharing that. And may the Lord bring restoration to all of these children of yours in a way that every one of them can be whole, and you can have a father-child relationship that glorifies the Lord. And thank you for taking these things seriously at the age of 50 and as a pastor. God bless you, brother. And thanks for calling and sharing such a personal story as well. Again, if you want to call and what you want to say is so sensitive, or you're known in certain circles and you don't want to say where you're calling from or your name, that's fine. It's more important that we hear your stories. All right, John and Tina, stay right there. I want to get to you right after the break. And I want to tell you what happened. Did a little survey. Our younger daughter lives right near us with her husband and kids. Our older daughter with her husband and kids live about 5-6 hours away in Maryland, but she was visiting for a couple days with her youngest child. So I asked our two daughters for their opinion of Dad. What were his strengths and weaknesses? What were my strengths and weaknesses raising the kids? So I'll tell you about that when we come back. Great resource offer this week we have. It's just $10. That's less than half the normal price, postage paid. 12 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. How to be led by the Spirit. How can I really know the will of God? How does God speak today? How does He lead? How can I discern what His will and voice is? The most practical series I've ever taught on this, which will absolutely bless your life, and it's only $10, postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is a special post-Father's Day broadcast. I've spent an hour and a half now on the air taking calls, some very moving calls, eye-opening calls. We've got a half hour now together to take more of your calls about what happens when a father is there, the influence a father has, a godly father, a good father, the influence that father has. What happens when the father is not there? The negative impact, the negative influence. 866-34-TRUTH, the effect of the father. I want to share a few personal anecdotes with you and take some more of your calls. But I've said this twice. I want to say it one more time for everyone just tuning in now. Maybe you are in a fatherless situation right now. Maybe your dad fathered you but has been absent. Family breakdown. Maybe there's been a death, and because of that, you don't have an earthly father. Maybe you're the wife, the mom, or grandmother raising a child in a fatherless situation. There are many drawbacks, many negatives, many difficulties. However, all of them can be made up for by the Lord and by his people. And we've gotten calls from people who said that life at home was terribly messed up and terribly destructive. However, healthy relationship with God and then people within the body made that difference. 866-34-TRUTH, what's your story? The positive effect of a father, the negative effect of the absence of a father or an ungodly father. I asked our two daughters, who are now 35 and 33, over the weekend. Older daughter was in town for a couple days with her youngest, and I asked both of them, what were my strengths and weaknesses as a dad? Now, I think a pretty good handle on that because our kids are older. We've got four grandkids now, and Nancy and I have talked about these things many times. But I asked, what would you say my strengths and weaknesses were as a dad? And I had my list. And trust me, Nancy could give a good list. And as Nancy and I talked about it after the kids left, the strengths and weaknesses are also reflective of who I am as a person, for better or for worse. And I've met some dads that, God, are the most unbelievable dads you could imagine. It's like, who could ever think like that and know that? And so I never thought of myself as like the best dad. On the other hand, I knew the strengths I had. When I asked our daughters, they could only think of strengths, which was flattering. And of course, the weaknesses are self-evident to me and self-evident to Nancy. But the strengths they spoke of were that they always felt loved. They always felt they were special. They always felt they were beautiful. And in that, they always felt secure, loved by dad. And it was from my heart that I tell them that all the time. I was telling our oldest granddaughter, who's 11 now, I said, honey, I just want you to know when I tell you how beautiful you are and how special you are, I'm not just saying that to be nice. It's from my heart. I said, I'm going to confess something. I said, Grammy and I, we talk about you behind your back and say the same things when you're not here. And she just smiled and thanked me. Well, our daughters heard that constantly. And they heard it for two reasons. They heard it, number one, because I felt it. I believed it. That's how I looked at them. That's how I felt towards them. They also heard it because I knew it was important for them to hear it. And I knew that their self-esteem could be torn down or built up by what dad said about them. And that it was far more important that dad said they were beautiful and special and wonderful. And look, we disciplined and we corrected. That was never an issue. There was not lack of discipline in the home. That was not the issue. But they were going to hear from me affirmation constantly, number one, because it was in my heart. Number two, I knew how important it was, especially for girls, to have that self-esteem from the dad. All right, quick family story, and we come back, and then your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I introduced this subject today, and Joey and Andrew manning the studio can attest to this. I introduced the subject of the effect of the father today and said, give me a call. Do you have a story, your own life story, of the negative influence of the absence of a father, the positive influence of the presence of a father? Give us a call. And the phones lit up instantly. I don't remember seeing them light up that quickly unless we're giving something away or doing a little quiz or something like that. And some folks have held for an hour with a positive story they wanted to tell or with a negative story they had to tell. And in other words, these are very, very deep, serious issues. The role of the father, friends, you cannot overestimate the importance of this role. 866-34-TRUTH. God reveals himself to us as father. A quick family anecdote. I had three of the kids with me, three of the grandkids, Eliana, who's 11, Andrew, who's 8, and then Riley, who's 5. So two from our younger daughter, and then the youngest from our older daughter, and then our other grandson, Connor, was not with us. He was with his dad in Maryland. So I had the three with me, and I left voicemails for Nancy and for our two daughters, called their cell phone. I said, all right, if they answer, here's what we do. They were all in the car with me, and I had on speakerphone. I said, if they answer, here's what they do, and if they don't answer when we hear the tone, for the leave a message, here's what we do. I said, I want you to all start screaming and going crazy, screaming like panic crisis. And I started screaming, ah, help, somebody, I got all these, can't help. So anyway, maybe I'll play it. I don't know if I play it on the air, it caused panic. People start hearing it, not know what's going on. But I'm telling you, it was really funny. We listened to the voicemails afterwards. Well, then I got hold of Jimmy, my son-in-law in Maryland. And when he picked up the phone, hello, we all started screaming, and I need help, I can't take it. They're all screaming in the background, and we had a laugh. And well, he was fishing. He was fishing with our other grandson, Connor, 8 years old. It reminded me again of a story I shared on Sunday as I preached at our home congregation, Fire Church, a Father's Day message. And I want to share it once more. I did earlier in the broadcast, but James Boswell was the biographer of Samuel Johnson, one of the great leaders in early American history. Boswell's biography of Johnson was famous. And James Boswell often made reference to a day he spent with his father, went fishing with his father, and the lessons he learned that day. Often in life, he talked about, yeah, when I was out fishing with my dad this particular day, he taught me this or I learned this. So people later became curious, well, what did the dad say about that? The dad, James Boswell's dad, was known to keep a diary. So someone went and looked it up. A shocking story. Someone went and looked it up. And here is the entry from the father, from Boswell's father, about that day. Went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. I mean, you hear that and it tears you up. Gordon MacDonald wrote a book, The Effective Father, and had a chapter title, Never a Day Wasted, or No Day is Ever Wasted. I read it as a new father 35 years ago. That illustration stayed with me to this day. And I thought, here's my son-in-law fishing with his son. Who knows what lessons can be learned that day? I went online and searched and found, yeah, lo and behold, that illustration was online. So I was able to dig it up word for word and share it with the congregation on Sunday. What a lesson to learn. You never know the impact you can have. You never know the good you can do. You never know the lessons that can be learned. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Houston, Texas. Thanks, sir, for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you very much for this subject you've got today. It's so important. The poignancy of a father in my own life is just tremendous. My own dad died when I was a young adult. At a very difficult time in my life. I had a teenage pregnancy. I married my sweetheart because of the responsibility that my dad had taught me, and I knew this was the right thing to do. Like any young marriage, we had a little boy, a little child. It was difficult going, and right in the middle of it, a tough time, my dad passed away unexpectedly. I was at a loss at what to do. He was the one person that I thought really knew me, that understood me. And he would counsel me. I mean, we would talk. We would go hunting and stay in a little camp house, and he would talk to me and give me guidance. And when this happened, I just did not have any direction anymore. Our marriage was on the rocks, and it failed. My wife divorced me shortly after he died. Mm. And then moved out of state. I didn't get to see my son for a long time. I became very bitter. I just did not see how this could happen. And without his guidance, I drank heavily. And this, I'm about your age. You know what the 70s were like. Mm-hmm. And I began to party because I thought I'm a failure. I was the first person in my whole family to ever get a divorce. I didn't have my dad with me. And it just... Mm-hmm. I didn't have direction in my life. Is the best way to put it. And I went the wrong direction, and I stayed bitter for a long time. Even though I straightened out the other part of my life, I quit the party life and tried to straighten my act up. And I did so for a while, but I was so bitter towards marriage in general that I remained a bachelor for nearly 20 years. But when I was 40, the Lord came into my life. And he showed me that he is my father, that I didn't lose a dad. I only lost an earthly father, but that God is my father. And he gave me that direction that I was so sorely missing. And more than that, he restored the capability in me to love again and to expect something again. And so I started praying, even though it was late in life, as I became to grow in the Christian walk. I started praying to have a chance. To be a dad, a real dad, and to be a husband, a real husband, which I hadn't been either one. And he gave me that chance. And I met a wonderful lady. She had three children. My own son had come back to live with me for a few short years before adulthood. I had a chance to establish a relationship with him. And now I have six kids. I have three stepchildren. I have my son from my first marriage, and he and I have a good relationship. We had to talk yesterday at Father's Day. Wow. And I have two children. I've got a boy, 13, and a little girl, 12. So my children range from 41 to 12. And God has blessed
Incredible.
Me. He showed me that he is our Father. And if our relationship with God the Father is strong, none of these other things that happen to us in life is going to knock us down. He's going to be there with us. He'll give us that direction that we need. And now I have the opportunity. I have an earthly fatherhood relationship again. It's just that I'm the dad now. And it's great. It's wonderful. So I tell people, every chance I get, they're in tough shape, dads that are to be, or dads that are on the rocks with their marriage or on the outs with their children, say, look, you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you listen to God the Father, and you read the love letter he gave us in the Bible, and he will teach you how to be the man that you're not. He has me. I'm not saying because I just read it.
No, I understand.
And can't believe it. It's I've lived it. And now it's just life is very, very full. I never knew it could be this good.
Wow. John, what an extraordinary testimony to who God the Father is and why he's revealed himself to us as Father and why Jesus directs us to pray to him as Father. And you know, the loss you experienced with the loss of your earthly dad made you to understand how important a dad really is. But ultimately, the dad... The dad of all dads and the one that can bring healing and restoration is our Heavenly Father. John, thank you for sharing that. What an extraordinary testimony. And for others listening who think there's no way to repair the past, with God, all things are possible. John, thank you again for sharing that.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Brown.
God bless you. Listen, there are wounds that are so deep that some of you have, and life experiences that are so deep that you try to convey them and you don't even have language to fully convey it or for us to fully hear and understand. I don't say anything lightly in what I say, but our callers from men and women who are now grown and mature now, our callers have said so much about what they have been through and how with God, full restoration can come. Even in certain things in this world where there's no way to go back and repair it and the person's not here in this world anymore, God can do something in your life so deep and so significant, so transforming, and his reality so surpassing of any earthly reality that he can bring light out of darkness, he can bring good out of evil, he can bring restoration out of destruction. And to every dad listening, don't underestimate the power of your influence, for good or for bad. And don't make excuses about your weakness, because none of us are perfect. All of us fall short. But if we really go to the Lord, one dad said after raising his kids, he said, if I did it again, I would pray more for myself than for them. Realizing that to the extent he was the dad God was calling him to be, he would have the kind of influence he should have on his kids, and there'd be less need to pray for them. All right, we'll get to some more calls when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's important to say this. As we talk about dads, as we talk about the structure that God intended for the family, the mom and dad together raising their kids, this gives you further insight as to why we take the stance that we take about redefining marriage. And that we say when a kid is raised with two moms, those two moms, no matter how loving they are, cannot make up for the absence of a dad. And to say that the dad is not needed is an affront to dads everywhere and an insult to that kid. See, it's one thing in a single parent home, the mom says, we don't have a husband, father right now. There's a deficit. It's another for two moms to say there is no deficit. Of course there is. Or for two dads to say there is no deficit because the mom is not needed. Of course there's a deficit. Of course the mom and the dad each play unique roles. By the way, for all of you with Kindle, with e-readers, or if you've got a Kindle app for your iPad or smartphone, we just released over the weekend a new book of mine. It's in e-book form only. You know, every week I tell you you can go online and you can get this article that I just posted on Town Hall or on One News Now, Key Cultural Issues, Moral Issues, and the articles are read by countless thousands every week. Well, we've put out 70 articles in one ebook. It's called In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. You can read it on your e-reader. It's for Kindle or Kindle apps. And it's only $5.99 because it's an ebook. We can make it really cheap. It's only $5.99 for all 70 articles. And then we link you back to where they're posted online within the ebook if you want to get involved in the comments section. So get it today. It's actually doing very well. We just announced it and did an e-blast for it. It's now the number 6 book in Kindle ebooks and, let's see, nonfiction, religion and spirituality, religious studies, church and state. Well, it's down there a little bit, but it's number 6 there, and number 4 in religion and spirituality, religious studies, gender and sexuality. So get a copy of it. And it's so relevant for what we're talking about because a lot of them deal with family issues. So again, just search by my name, Michael L. Brown. It's called In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. Order it on Amazon. But again, if you don't have a Kindle reader, as long as you have the Kindle app for your iPad or for your smartphone, you can read this. Just $5.99 for all 70 articles in ebook form only. And it ties in directly with so many of the things we're talking about. There's even one about kids of anonymous sperm donors that's there as one of the articles called The Kids Are Not Always All Right. Okay, Tina in Atlanta, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My experience, as different callers have spoken, is a lot the same. There was growing up, the abuse, the chaos, alcoholism. Until I was in high school, that was very prevalent. And then my dad became a Christian. And I remember how happy I was because the abuse, the alcohol, all of that stopped immediately. But it was kind of odd because even though my dad started attending church, he still always wanted to be in charge, but he was still not involved at all with us. And so that was really hurtful. And I would have to say, unfortunately, he modeled for me a lot of what, you know, how you as a woman should expect a man to treat you. And mm-hmm. so, unfortunately, even though I never went crazy, I didn't do drugs, I wasn't an alcoholic or anything like that. I was, you know, a habitual marrier. You know, I got married 3 times before I was 30 years old.
Really?
And
Tina, let me just say this. It is, people don't realize when we talk about readjusting what families look like, or here's a kid being raised by two moms or two dads, they never get to see how a mom is supposed to treat a dad, a mom, how a male is supposed to treat a female, a male. They never get to see that modeled. And in your case, the negative model you had, that was the norm for you. So then you don't have the right pattern to follow. And I can't explain all the psychology behind it, but many women say who come from homes where the mom was physically abused end up marrying a man that's physically abusive. Mm-hmm. So this happened in your life. Has there been a positive redemption, restoration story on the other side of this? Where do you find yourself today?
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. Because after that third marriage, I started looking at, gosh, what is going on here? And to be honest with you, once my dad, you know, started going to church but still acted the same way, just without the abuse, my struggle with my dad went away and my struggle with God began, because I kept asking God to change him.
Right.
And I would say, God, you can change him. You can make this struggle go away. And interestingly enough, I remember one day sitting at
Tina,
the dinner...
I'm sorry. I've got to jump in here. I'm really listening carefully to your story, but I'm out of time.
Okay.
So if you can do me a favor, if you don't mind taking a minute to do it, my website is askdrbrown.org. You get online sometimes? Yes? All right.
Sure.
Shoot me a note with the end of the story. Would you mind doing that? Askdrbrown.org.
Absolutely.
Just click on contact. Shoot me a note. I'll remember it. Tina from Atlanta. But in short, though, am I right in saying that you've ultimately found a deep solution to the problems by looking to God? As father, has that been a key role in terms of God working in your life and looking to him rather than the prayers you were praying for your dad?
Absolutely, because my stepfather became the blessing that I realized God had given me, the father I'd always wanted,
and
him. So.
All right. Well, yeah, please, Tina, shoot me a note with the rest of the story. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but thanks for sharing that. And look, it's the story of the positive influence of a father, the negative influence, and ultimately looking to God. If there's one takeaway for everyone here, it's that God the Father is the source of everything we need and can make up for every lack. One of the biggest problems people have, one of the consistent, persistent questions is, how do I know the will of God? How do I know the voice of God? How do I know he's trying to lead me? How do I respond? I don't know. I don't get it the way others get it. I've got a really practical teaching series. Seriously, I'm going to be listening to it again myself to refresh myself in the principles that I've taught. How to be led by the Spirit. It's 12 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or for your MP3 player. And this week it's only $10 and we're paying the postage. So call today to order 1-800-278-9978. How to be led by the Spirit. 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on online bookstore. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Jesus pointed all humanity to his Heavenly Father and told us to pray to the Father. In him, you will find everything you could possibly need.